Welcome to You, Me, and the Dogs, the podcast where we explore the wonderful world of pet ownership. Join me every Wednesday as my guests and I share personal stories, insights, and experiences, of course, with dogs. Today, I'm talking with Leslie, who is a dog advocate and runs her own rescue, iPaw, here in Miami. How are you?
You're good. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for having me, Millie.
No, thank you. I was super interested in talking to you because of this heartbreaking story of Zorro and Grover. Mm-hmm. Zorro was hit by a car, mm-hmm. and Grover stood watch of Zorro. And Grover was, he ran away, correct?
Well, there's different versions. I think that the real version is that someone decided to take him. He wasn't hurt, so Miami-Dade Animal Services wasn't taking him. I did speak with the person who stopped to help them because the person who hit Zorro did not stop. So they left him on the side of I-95. Mm-hmm. That was the image that killed me, was Grover staying watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would not leave his friend. And so that's what, I didn't see any of media coverage or anything. I just saw the Facebook post. That's what prompted me to go and save Zorro. He had been at the shelter 2 days, and Grover was nowhere to be found. And when I heard that they separated them, at first I thought that they were separated at the shelter.
Right.
Then I found out he was just gone. Once I pulled Zorro, two amazing ladies who do all kind of rescue, I mean, they will go out at night and trap dogs. Fortunately, they found him, and 2 days later, so it had been a total of like maybe 4 or 5 days since the accident that Grover was found.
Uh-huh.
And then that's when we reunited them.
And the video of them being reunited is, it was so, it's heartbreaking.
Yes.
But they have such sentiment for each other.
Yeah, it was kind of amazing. I mean, everybody, there's so many people rooting for them.
Uh-huh.
So yes, the next day after Grover was found, we went to Knowles, offered to board Grover as well for me, even though he wasn't sick or hurt.
Uh-huh.
And they just wanted them together, which just shows for every bad story we hear, there are so many good people out there.
Right.
And I get choked up talking about it.
Yeah.
Zorro had his two right legs broken, so he couldn't walk. It was a pretty bad hit, and that's what kills me, that the person didn't even stop.
Right.
But what can we expect these days? So Zorro, they have him in an enclosure, not a cage, because he's very large and obviously he was in pain. We brought Grover in. I mean, it was like a party. He had like a parade kind of with all the staff going back to see Zorro.
Uh-huh.
They opened up his enclosure and I mean, they were just so happy to see each other. And Zorro, who couldn't walk, did
crawled.
He crawled out to see his, we can call him his brother in spirit if anything.
Right.
And it was just really amazing. I mean, it touched everyone's hearts.
Even from the outside, I'm like, oh my God, this
yes.
This kills me.
Yeah.
So how did you start with rescue?
I grew up in an animal-loving family. My parents were huge animal advocates. They left Cuba in the 60s and they went to Spain, where my father's family was from. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't take much when they left Cuba, but they found a way to bring their dog from Havana. And so I'm not saying that it doesn't happen in a small percentage of cases, but whenever I see the excuse I'm moving, I really get upset because I'm like, you can find a way, you know, and I use my parents as an example. From the 60s, my dad was always rescuing animals, even in Spain, spaying and neutering. In the 80s, he was the first one to take me to Miami-Dade Animal Services, and I cried through all the cages at I was like 10 years old,
and that was the old one, though.
Yes, the Medley location.
Medley, yeah.
It was just funny because my mom was just as much as an animal lover, but my dad and I couldn't go out together because we went to the shelter that day and came back with 3 dogs. Sadly, 2 died. They were sick.
Aww.
Of course, the location wasn't great, so they were very sick from the shelter, but we gave them a few great last weeks.
Right.
We were at one point, I think, in the 90s, like with 7 or 8 dogs. Luckily, we had the space and the resources for them. He would feed the strays. You know, we would spay and neuter the strays. I did my bachelor's in education, and I did my master's in public administration just for the nonprofit side. I've always wanted to be in the nonprofit sector or the government sector. A few years after I graduated, I got married. My husband was an active duty Marine, so we moved around a bit, mm-hmm. and I couldn't find employment. So in 2014, that's when I started IPA, or Interstate Partners for Animal Welfare. Uh-huh. I mainly started it to partner with other rescues, thinking together we can save more. Mm-hmm. You know, if I can help another rescue, maybe transport, if I can't take the dog in. It hasn't quite played out that way in the rescue world. I mean, right. there has been some amazing rescues that we've done together, uh-huh. Organizations. But for the most part, you know, everyone's doing their own thing.
Right.
I started in North Carolina saving from a rural kill shelter. There was a lot of military spouses without working that were willing to foster, and Miami life is just very different than it was in North Carolina.
Right.
Here, everybody obviously,
yeah,
the life is crazy, right?
So right.
And everyone I know has pets, so it's very difficult to find fosters. Mm-hmm. I also went through a lot of personal turmoil in a
right.
sense.
Right. Yeah, like
yeah.
trauma.
Yeah, so yeah. The last few years have been crazy, to include my father passing and my mom with dementia. So I rescued a few animals last year, mm-hmm. but I wasn't planning on it. And I saw Zorro. All
right.
I saw were the pictures of
yeah, that's
Grover
all, like,
and Zorro.
For
and
me, that was, I mean, it's good and bad, right? I'm in the space where I tried that. What I want to do is educate and
yes.
advocate for
right.
for dogs. And then I deal with my partner, because my partner says, why do you follow
right.
these rescues? Mm-hmm. Why do you follow urgent dogs
yes.
of Miami? You're torturing yourself.
Yes. Right.
But for me, it's kind of like, that's the reality of what's
yeah.
happening in our society.
Right.
And it's not only here, like I follow Texas. There's
it's everywhere.
California.
Yeah.
I mean, there's it's everywhere, but
yeah.
there's some that are just like you see the population.
I think uh-huh. I've lived in different states, and I think the laws need to change. I mean, mm-hmm. I keep a document of like how many dogs are coming in every day to Miami-Dade Animal Services
okay.
with burns, or this
exactly.
this dog that died the other day.
Yeah, in the
embedded collar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'm like, where are the repercussions? So
correct.
All of these humans get away with this.
And they could continue
yes,
doing it
right.
over
and
over.
And then next week, that same person that had that dog tied up who died in his cage at the shelter.
Right. He probably adopted it.
Yes. He probably, or that person yeah. went and adopted.
He dropped it off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's what, and a lot of people, there's no laws for microchips or anything. So a lot of people could take this dog and say, oh, I found it as a stray.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be their dog. There's
right.
no investigation. There's no follow-up. Legislation is what matters.
It's so hard to go and say, I need you to follow up on this
mm-hmm.
when there's so many other things happening.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I could say there's been reports of like when people abuse pets,
yes.
then they go and
right.
they get bored.
Right.
You know?
No, it's true, and it's very upsetting. And after Zorro and Grover became like a domino effect for me, saving is an addiction. 4 years ago, I pulled a very small dog with two broken legs and a displaced hip at Animal Services,
uh-huh.
and I thought, never again. I'm never taking such a hard medical case.
Right, it's
it
expensive.
It added grays, and then here came Zorro.
You rescued him, and you took him to Knowles.
Mm-hmm.
I think they told you that they weren't hopeful.
Right.
Of his surgeries.
Right. When the doctor first examined mm-hmm. him, they were like, this is bad. You
okay.
know, he has two broken, not just broken, like crushed. Like,
okay.
And it was where it was broken, like
okay.
his elbow. So Dr. Weiss, who is really an amazing orthopedic surgeon and an amazing human, he was like, you know, the way he explained it to me, and I hope I'm not getting it wrong, but it was like where like the elbow was broken. His right front paw was very, like it was a tricky surgery. The back knee was extremely swollen and also crushed.
Uh-huh.
And then the hip, his left hip was bad. I mean, that wasn't the, you know,
right.
that was like, okay, we can do that. But the legs is what he needs. And you can't amputate both right legs, you
right.
know. So it wasn't even like it was one leg and okay, he'll be a tripod. He's like, do we put all of this into this? Because, I mean, Zorro has taken, like, five surgeries, you
right.
know? And so to get it right, you know, he was just expressing it like, do we try and put him all through all this? And then,
right.
and then we can't fix it. It was like, you know, that's where, like, the euthanasia comes in, right? But Zorro had such a will to live.
How important is it for you to have, especially as a rescue,
mm-hmm.
have a vet team that is in the same scope as you?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's super important. When I had the first broken dog, I don't know how else to call it because he had so many broken things, was in 2020. And that was, I knew of Dr. Weiss. It was my first experience with him. And it's just so comforting to know that the animal is in good hands in a with a person that truly loves animals. And it's just huge. And then after Zorro, almost every dog I pulled from Miami-Dade Animal Services, which was five more, they had broken limbs and hit by cars.
And Ginger
with all those masses. Ginger was overbred and had, I don't know how many masses. She had the dangling tumor that was ulcerated and she was bleeding everywhere. And so Ginger was heartbreaking because she's the sweetest dog. So she was definitely a neglected and abused. I consider overbreeding abuse. And so then there was Benjamin, who was a beautiful basset mix, also with a broken leg. And then Charlie, which was he's a small Chihuahua, Jack Russell's crushed hip. Then there's Cinnamon, who was at the shelter completely overlooked. And when they went to operator, the doctor told me this is an old injury because of all the scar tissue. So who knows how long this dog had been suffering.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And so, you know, and the rescues can't keep up.
Right.
And yes, the shelter might make mistakes, but the true problem lies with the laws.
Right. And society.
And society. And it's not, these animals have no voice. And I feel like it's almost worse than the 80s when I would go to Miami-Dade Animal Services. The building is prettier.
Right.
But you know, I mean, the cases just get worse and worse. And they're full. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, maybe that's why there's all these animals with broken bones, because people go to surrender their animals and they get turned away. And I think they just let them loose.
Right.
And I'm thinking maybe that's why. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why there's all these animals with broken limbs. And if we could only get better laws, and I'm not saying I have the solution, but I would, you know, if there was at least a conversation with lawmakers.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, databases.
That was the next question I was going to ask you, is would a database work?
Like I said, I can't say I have the solution, but I mean, we should start trying something.
Right.
And I think a database would work, because mandatory maybe microchipping.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say, because I've been thinking about this database thing for a while, and when you said microchip, I was like, that's the thing. If everyone, because he has a microchip,
right?
And another thing that people don't know is, like, you have to update it.
Right.
You have to make sure that it's, like, up to date, because he could get lost, and if they have the wrong phone number, it's not going to get to you. But using that chip, and then if you surrender your dog, it's gonna match,
and it could, like, you know, go into another database, like when they go to adopt, have their information scanned and be like, well, you surrendered a dog last week, why are this dog came in, you know, half dead and not adopt out. I mean, I know, and that's where the breeding laws also come in. Florida has some kind of law that you have to have a license to be a breeder, but that's a joke.
No,
it's not
and
enforced.
Then the fees are, they're selling a dog for $500, but the fee is like $200.
Right.
So,
and it's illegal. And I do call the police when I see them
the 311, and I take a picture. And
I mean, I have seen police come out. I think as busy as the police are, and I know they have bigger problems, they're more helpful sometimes than the ones that are truly responsible for this, you know, and they'll come out and they'll tell, but the people just move to another corner, you know?
Right. Right.
And the other day, these puppy stores, there are states that have banned puppy stores.
And why hasn't that been updated?
Yeah, because Florida, you know, I grew up here, but it's very behind in a lot of things.
Right.
And I'm not afraid to say that, because although it's great for other things, it's veteran friendly, it should kind of expand into, you know, other welfare. And and at least other stores like PetSmart, you know, Pet Supermarket, they work with the shelter, they work with rescue. So they're part of the solution. These stores, it's so terrible. And everyone I know in the past that wasn't educated on what happens with these pet stores,
they buy,
and then they tell me this dog is sick, it has diarrhea. And I'm like, yes, you're buying an overbred, horrible situation dog. And I'm not saying to take away breeders. I know people that love.
There's
ethical breeders. And, you know, I mean, I think if money is the case, I mean, there could be money in cracking down on these people.
Right.
Fines, penalties, like, go, you know, get the money to then
be able to
better our society. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or better, these animals have no voice, they're at our mercy, and it just, It just breaks my heart.
Right.
I did the Humane Society, I'm not sure if they still do it, of the United States. They did at a national level lobbying, and I used to go, it was called Taking Action for the Animals, like TAFTA. And like I went to DC and I lobbied, and as you know, as an individual, and obviously this was way before I started my rescue, and it was just funny, like, you know, we were broken up into our states, and to go talk to our officials, your representatives, and it was just funny who would open their doors and who wouldn't even see us. And it was just, it's just sad. The system is so broken, and if they would at least open up the talks, you know, and I see the mayor having these events like you know, puppy bowls, and
well,
and it's a good, I'm not knocking it.
Well, so I went to a park meeting, and the mayor was there, and at that time I think Miami-Dade was, it was almost getting to capacity. This is like the end of last year,
right?
And I told her, what are you guys doing? And the, it was a very fluffy answer. We're trying to do, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, but you're just looking at it, like, follow these rescues, you know?
And I do tag the elected officials on some of my posts, and I hope it's not taken as I'm some crazy person. I'm not. I just feel like they need their eyes opened, and I don't know how much they follow, because animal welfare is not a priority. And I'm not knocking these, like, happy quote unquote events. That's great. It's done, you know, it's gotten some things for the shelter, but it certainly hasn't gotten the shelter the equipment necessary to treat some of these dogs with broken limbs. They literally just sit there with in pain. The shelter gives them medicine, but how nice would it be for these funds, or for these events, to raise the proper funds to at least treat the animals.
Right.
The x-ray machine was broken for, I don't know how long in the shelter. And I'm not, the workers, I commend the people that go into Miami-Dade Animal Services. The rescue coordinators are amazing. I'm not knocking them, because I can't do that job. So I'm not going to knock them.
I only, God knows how many times they've seen things and are horrified.
Yeah, there's so many volunteers. There's so many people that work there that truly care. But they're burnt out. Right now we have over, like, I think 800 dogs homeless. And God knows how many they're turning away. So we have in the thousands. We have cases coming in every day about abuse and neglect. Nobody pays for their crime. And I, you know, I tag the mayor, and I tag our Senator Alexis Catalayud, who did away with the pit bull ban, which is, like, so crazy that we had this ban.
Well, now they're introducing that Pam Rock to the Florida legislation. There was this lady called Pamela Rock. It happened in northern Florida, and she was attacked by pit bulls. And she died. You know, they want to introduce this law where if they think that your dog is aggressive, and that word to me is
subjective, or
it's subjective, and it also is very thrown around very quickly.
Yes, I agree.
As opposed to he's reactive, or he, like, let's turn it around and say, hey, look at human psychology, try to figure out what's the issue.
Exactly.
And we don't do that for our pets.
No, and I agree. And there was a little dog that I pulled after Zorro. He was like a Chihuahua mix, no broken bones, no heartworm. It was, he was neutered. I'm like, okay, this is like a dream come true. So I pulled him because I got a foster offer. And in the notes, it said when the owner was surrendering him, he went to bite the shelter staff. And luckily, the shelter staff then wrote a note after that. I mean, he was literally protecting his owner. When the shelter staff went to take him, that's what he was doing. Protecting the owner that was surrendering him. And that breaks my heart. That,
no, yeah, I know. That know, the the layers of this.
And so then when he was left, then he was fine with the shelter staff. A sweet dog, and now is in a great home. If the shelter staff had just stopped that, oh, he's aggressive, because he was protecting his owner. Like, that's what a dog does.
Exactly.
And I just, it just breaks my heart how misunderstood they are. And I'll say it like 100 times. They have no voice.
I wonder how much of the staff in different shelters throughout the U.S. don't have that proper behavior. Teachings.
No, and I remember Miami-Dade Animal Service years ago, they had classes on this, like, which I thought was great. I don't know if that has continued, especially after COVID, but they had classes on teaching, and which I think is huge. Obviously, I studied education, so I'm a big advocate for educating everybody, and I try to educate children on animals and animal welfare. And my father and my mother, they always taught me how to introduce myself to a dog. Mm-hmm. It's just sad how, like you said, it's labels and ignorance, and I'm not insulting anyone, it's just lack of education.
Right.
There is a law in Florida about keeping your dog on a leash, except like if it's in a dog park, and I have a lot of neighbors that just let their dogs run loose, and they're not trained.
Right.
I think even a trained animal...
Well, there's not 100% accuracy.
Right, exactly. I believe, yes, dog training is great, but the animal is still its own person, right?
Mm-hmm. For an individual.
Yes, an individual. I know, I call them people.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, they have their own mind and their own, and although they aim to please and when they're trained, they're pretty good. You know, I sometimes get scared walking my dog because I'm like, I don't know, I can't enjoy my dog because people just want to, they only think about themselves and they want to be comfortable and not have their dog on a leash and stand there and look at their phone while their dog runs wild. And so would I, wouldn't that be great? But we don't live in a place where we have yards. And so I'm like, you know, keep your dog on a leash. I should be able to enjoy my dog.
Right.
I keep my dog on a leash. I pick up their poop. Like, it's just frustrating.
No, right. How do you think you could solve that?
It's hard because, I mean, I've told our HOA, and then I've called the police and they're like, well, is the dog loose right now? And I'm like, well, by the time you come, it's not, you know, and it's Miami. Yeah. I know they have bigger problems, but it could become a problem if I get attacked or my dog gets attacked, you know? And so, I don't know. I think people have to go through a bad experience to then, which is sad because like, I mean, people,
I don't want a bad experience.
No, I know. Yeah, I just think people are so inconsiderate sometimes.
Right. No. Yeah. Because it's a lot of layering. It's a lot of like how you were raised.
Right.
Your experiences.
Everybody makes mistakes, but you know, I don't know how to solve that.
Right.
But I think it's important at least to, as a society, to do better by these animals and have better laws.
Yeah.
Educating the people. Like, I'm a huge possum advocate. Mm-hmm. And everybody thinks they're rodents, right? And I'm always telling everybody,
they're good.
I'm like, they're marsupials. Yeah. They're not rodents. And I'm like, our society is so superficial.
Right,
like, so
exactly.
You think it's ugly, so you think it's a rat.
They're good for...
Yes.
For like our environment.
Yes. And I'm like, why hurt them? It's just a lack of education, understanding. You know, our HOA, somebody spotted foxes and they put in a Florida statute, something about that they were allowed to shoot it. And I'm
what?
Like, really, do we need to encourage shooting? Like, and I'm like, it's a fox. Like,
well, we're in their environment.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
I'm like, exactly. I'm like, we've built around the Everglades. I mean, we've built into like wildlife areas, and then they're when they come with a non-native species, and I'm like, who brought these species, you know? Who brought the iguanas? Who brought all these exotic lizards? It was a human. And then that human goes on to live, and now we're getting the iguana issue. I don't understand why we have to hurt, but again, I mean, look what humans do to each other, right? So and then everybody will come to me with that argument, and they're like, people abandon their children. And I'm like, of course, that's horrible. But there are laws for that.
Right.
You know, they can trace the parent. They can do
something. Well, there's justice. If you follow different rescues and different shelters, so they have different approaches, right? So Zorro and Grover, the way that it was showcased to the public was very, like, you felt for them, right? You want them to succeed, right? You want them to find a home, and you want them to be... taken care of. And then sometimes you read other stories and they make you pity them.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to, you know, like having
them.
compassion for them. It's very, I think, like, well, why can't they just euthanize? And it's so many layers, right? Like, they're in pain.
Yeah, I know. And people tell me that sometimes because they're like, you know, my bills for all of these dogs in the last month are, I mean, they're just... astronomical.
No,
some people could say, why not euthanize them and give that to a healthy dog? These dogs didn't ask to be thrown on the street.
Well, it wasn't their fault to begin with.
It wasn't their fault. Correct. People don't know, unless it's changed, euthanizing a dog at the shelter is a lot worse than when they get euthanized at the vet. As far as my understanding, and if I'm wrong, you know, then great, I hope I'm wrong. But as far as I know, shelters usually just do that heart stick, you know, like basically just kill them. Directly to the heart. And so in a vet, they'll always obviously sedate them and then inject them with the
morphine.
Yeah, whatever, you know. And I I don't ask questions. I've been through this too many times. You think right. I would know the terms, but obviously I'm in an emotional state,
uh-huh.
right? The final injection that puts them to sleep. But in a shelter, like they don't have, I don't know if it's more expensive, and this is my own lack of education.
Right.
I don't know if it's more expensive or you know, if it's just faster just to, you know, go ahead and like stick all these dogs like, you know, like a factory and kill them, you know, and people think, oh, they're going to be in a shelter, they'll be okay. And it's like, no.
Right. The word shelter is yes. not, it's
no.
not a shelter.
Right.
Like how we see
yes.
it.
And a no-kill shelter is a true no-kill shelter. And so Miami-Dade likes to uh-huh. say that it's a no-kill shelter. And that's where I find extremely deceiving, because they do kill.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not bringing down the
no,
shelter.
No, and they kill, like, I understand if the dog is more that way than,
yes.
than this
I agree.
Way. I agree.
Yes, me
right?
too. Yeah, they have to kill for space. And
yeah.
And that's the sad part, that if there were better laws, there'd be more space. And even the other day when the Wings of Rescue took 35 animals from Miami-Dade, mm-hmm. yes, I am so happy that these animals are being transported to a better state.
Right.
Because that's where they are. They're all being shuffled around the country.
Correct.
It's not like, you know, it's not like the whole country is a horrible place for animals.
Right.
There are states with good laws.
In Colorado are, yes, or Oregon.
Even New Hampshire.
Yeah, New Hampshire.
Maine. So I'm like, it's been done. People are like, oh, you know, sometimes people fight with me. You don't understand. And I'm like, yes, I do, because I follow laws in other states
right.
and they're done. Like, all you have to do is copy it. So I'm very happy for those 35 dogs that got flown out of here. But we wouldn't need that. I mean, it should be shameful that we need that. You
right.
know, it shouldn't be celebrated other than because of the current state. Yes, let's celebrate the dogs. The reason they built the new shelter was the old shelter was disgusting. It was horrible. And now they're housing dogs there. And okay, it's better than euthanizing them. But it's like nobody goes to that old shelter.
Right.
They're unseen. They're kept in bad conditions. It doesn't have AC. It just has fans. Why not put resources into remodeling it? Let's have two nice mm-hmm. shelters. There's a lot of money in Miami-Dade. Animals are just not a priority. And that's, it shows a lot mm-hmm. of our society when we treat right. animals this way.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to know more about our guests, read the show notes down below. And of course, join us next Wednesday for another possum episode of Yumi and the Dogs. Bye.